Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning edition of The Female Solution. I'm Naima Latif, your host, and we're looking forward to you joining us for another invigorating conversation as we seek to address the issues that affect our daily lives and present some real-life solutions. So we'll be right back in just a moment, and we'll take a look at a topic that has been of great concern to many. Our young people, those who seem to have gone astray and become a criminal element that we fear. How did this happen? How did we get to a point where we're afraid of the cute little babies that we raised? What happened to the collective mothering that we used to do, in which every child knew every mother, and no one feared anybody because the power of a mother was greater than the power of the police? How do we rebuild that culture where we see our children as children of the parents that are our friends, and we can talk to these children even if they have gone astray? Well, let's talk about this when we come back from this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and gladly get your thoughts. Let's take a look at the issue of collective mothering. How to reach out to the youth that we fear. We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stay with us. And if you want to join us on Facebook Live, you can join us on the Female Solution Facebook page at www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. And we'll be right back after this quick message. So stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we appreciate you for joining us on this daily think tank as we prepare ourselves to address those issues that are uppermost in our minds, that we know we have to take responsibility for alleviating. It is our responsibility, not anybody else's, not the mayor, the governor, the police, the judges, the juries, all of those people that have impacted the lives of our children. It really isn't their responsibility to correct the problem. It is our responsibility, those whom they came through to have this earth experience, the mothers. And it's not to blame women for every problem that our society faces. It's to place the responsibility where it truly is, because this is the job of every female, of every species, raising your child to be a part of the community, raising your child to be an asset to the community. That's our job. And if we do our jobs well, we have a good society. If we don't do our jobs well, then we have a society that implodes on itself, that self-destructs, that ultimately unravels. And so the job that we have been given as females of the species is that job which requires wisdom in decision-making. And if we learn from the female how to properly mother our children, then we can create a wonderful future. But if for some reason we didn't learn the skills, we didn't develop the understanding of the importance of this job being the number one job, the most important job on the planet, then we can perhaps be misguided to think it's something else. Fame, wealth, and, you know, wealth is fine, fame is fine, if it helps you do that one important job that we must do once we give birth, and that is to raise our child to become a positive contributor to the society in which we live. So sometimes we need help for various reasons. Sometimes the partners with whom we had the children, the husbands, the fathers of the children, the men with whom we had that special love relationship, that bond of intimacy, sometimes that relationship does not manifest into the mutually supportive partnership that is desirable in the raising of a child. Sometimes that male did not learn how to be a father, how to be a partner to us, how to parent. Sometimes they didn't learn because they may not have been properly parented and prepared for that role. And maybe we didn't realize that when we got into that intimate relationship with them, that they were not prepared for the role that comes after that. Or maybe there are just some incompatibilities between us. Maybe there were stages of growth we had not reached before we became parents. But ultimately, even if that male partner is not up to task in doing this necessary job of parenting the children we bring forth into this earth, we, the female, we are the one that has to determine the survival of our child. And it's the same for every species on the planet. It's the female. So whether our parents helped us understand the extreme importance of our role or not, we discover it once we give birth to a child, especially if, as is often the case, there is no one else there to help us in that process of caring for that child. Sometimes we find ourselves a solo act. And it's frustrating. And we may often leave that child in the care of people who don't have their best interest at heart, who don't know how to properly care for a child, who are not aware of the things they're exposing that child to, who may even be endangering the child or harming the child. So many mistakes that get made in child rearing before the child is old enough to speak and express the frustration or the fear or the anger that they're feeling because of what they're experiencing. So our task isn't to blame mothers, shame mothers, make the mother who's really striving to do her best to the best of her ability the villain in this sudden surge of youth crime. Our job is to take collective responsibility and engage in collective mothering, which means we have to rebuild the relationships with other women that have been misshapen into relationships of conflict and competition. This is not helpful, and we're seeing the impact when so many children grow into youth that no one knows, no one identifies, people fear. And rather than call parents if someone is acting out, we call police, who are trained to kill, because they are now conditioned to see the cities where they operate as war zones, and they're focusing on protecting their lives. We can talk about retraining the police and racial sensitivity. We can talk about all that, but the reality that they are facing is that they are meeting a deadly force in the children that we raised. It used to be those cute little babies. And that's their reality. And how do we allow that to happen? We can't just say somebody needs to get these guns off the street, because there would not be a call for the gun in the street if there were not violence in the hearts of the people using them. So what happened to disturb the peace? How are we seeing this undeclared civil war going on where we live, endangering the lives of innocent bystanders, children who are playing in front of their homes, elders who are sitting on their porches, people who are simply sitting in their cars, minding their own business? Something happened. And it happened in the hearts of the young people who did not receive the kind of collective mothering that would have strengthened a community that nourished, nurtured, and supported them and guided them to a healthy, wholesome adulthood. We didn't do our job because we didn't form the relationships with each other that would have made it possible for us to engage in collective mothering. This is where the solution starts. So we're going to talk about that. Every year, every 10 years, at the year that starts with a zero, 1990, 2000, 2010, 2020, every year, the nation engages in a census count, trying to determine where people are living, how many people are living, what are their ages, what are their demographics, sex, income, so-called race, who you are and where you are. That's something that the government strives to determine. But truly, we should have independent databases. And we should know every person who at least lives in our block. And if we have a community area, whether it's a 1 square mile area or 2 square mile area or whatever the configuration, we need to have a means of identifying who we are and where we are. And all it takes is the effort of one person to start it. Identify everybody on your block. Get their name, the number and ages of children that they have, and their contact information, phone numbers, email, Facebook page. We have all of these communication devices. There should be no stranger among us. Everybody should be known because everybody has a name. Everybody has an identity. Everybody has parents. And if they don't, these are the ones that we need to come together around and mother collectively. Those children whose parents may be disabled emotionally, financially, psychologically, physically. Whatever is happening, we must step up and step in before that young person becomes a destructive young adult that we fear. So we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to join this conversation. Are you willing to be that person that spearheads the organization of your block club? Let's just go block by block. Are you willing to be that person that identifies every person living on your block and creating that block club so that no one who lives on the block where you live is a stranger? Are you willing to be that person? And if so, let's begin the process. And if not, explain what it is you may fear in reaching out to your neighbors and creating that block club directory of residents. Can we start there, identifying who every resident on the block is? And let's talk about how you go about doing that. We know that and I briefly worked for the census back a couple of decades ago, I think it was the 2010 census. And, of course, they go house to house. I've also, a couple of decades ago, worked with one of the elected officials in doing precinct work where you had that list, that poll sheet, that list of all of the registered voters, and you went house to house to verify. Matter of fact, this was several decades ago during the time that Mayor Harold Washington was running for office, and we were assisting with the campaigning. And so we went house to house on the block where I grew up and had a wonderful time talking to the parents that saw me growing up as a child. They knew my parents and I knew their children, and we talked about the election, and we talked about whether or not the residents of Chicago were emotionally ready to elect a black man as mayor. It was an interesting conversation. But at that time, going house to house, it was a process of confirming who every neighbor was. And it was a process of us really getting to know each other. And this is what happens when you take that step. You get to know your neighbors. So let's go to our phone line. And again, we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll gladly take your remarks. We're asking the question, are you willing to be that person who initiates the block club where you can create a block club directory of all the residents and therefore, at least where you live, no one is a stranger? So let's go to our phone lines and go to area code 3, Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
L.A., Central Florida. The Block Club the way that, I guess, old school way, I guess some people still do it, would be block parties that revolve around, I guess, holidays or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween or whatever. When I grew up, there were block parties, special times of the year. And then you also had neighbors that might have individual get-togethers, cookouts like 4th of July, and invite neighbors on that particular block to the function. And in some smaller towns that I've been to in recent years, typically, I guess, on Memorial Day, they have the town gets together. So you got people that probably grew up in that little small town, and people fly in from wherever, points all over the place, and they come back for that long weekend, and that's how they do it. So that's a good strategy. Although with what's going on today, it depends on what city you're in. But one example why I think the block club or what you're talking about is so important, and I'm going to use this as a point of reference. About two or three years before she passed, probably about two, I had a phone conversation with Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. And she was going through something that I can really relate to. Matter of fact, I don't even know who told me about it. But anyway, because I have a house in D.C., and she lived in Washington, D.C. She lived on the Gold Coast, which is like a pretty nice area of Washington, D.C. So anyway, what was happening to her was she was fighting a battle, but as a lone wolf. What had happened was there was a school in her neighborhood, which was one of her neighbors at the time. And what happened was when somebody passed away on her block, what this school was doing was they got in touch with the estate or relatives of the estate, and they purchased the house. So as they purchased each house, and this took place over a number of years. It didn't happen overnight. They would extend the boundaries of the school. So by the time I talked to Dr. Welsing, it got basically up to her property line. And, when the kids were out there during recess and playing, the noise level was bothering her. Now, all this time, she had been battling this solo. Now, where she lived on the Gold Coast, we're talking about people that were doctors like her, people with a pretty nice income.
Mm-hmm.
And whatnot. What I learned from that conversation with her was, now this is after I analyzed, I didn't get it all at once. And she went through three attorneys who all promised that, they can help her out, but they were just taking the woman's money. That's the way I'm looking at it. But she was in court by herself fighting against this school. Now, this school happened to be a Jewish day school. So those parents got together and, like I said, through the school, and they purchased house by house. This didn't happen overnight. And I'm just thinking, had other neighbors in that particular block got together, and instead of the school buying those houses. The neighbors, and they had the income, other neighbors get together, if they knew each other, get together and turn themselves into an organized economic engine, and then buy those homes and then keep them intact so nobody's house would be, you know, violated like Dr. Welsing's was. Dr. Welsing also turned me on to a film that I recommend everybody watch. It's called Flag Wars. And you can probably rent it or buy it on Amazon. Now, it used to be on YouTube for free, but it's called Flag Wars. And it's a documentary about what happened to a historic black neighborhood in Columbus, Ohio, where, you know, they had these big, many-mansion-type homes that black folks owned and whatnot. And it was a predominantly black neighborhood. Actually, it was all black neighborhood. You had churches and all that. And what happened was, as the older black folks were dying off and didn't have an estate plan in place, you had white gay folks that were moving in and buying these homes. Like I say, these were like mini mansions on the super cheap. And then they used housing court to basically take over the neighborhood.
Wow.
And I've interviewed one of the people that was in that documentary about two or three times. But Dr. Wells turned me on to that film, Flag Wars. Flag Wars is about this. Everything I just told you about, but the Flag Wars, the reason why it's called Flag Wars was there was one guy, Chief, I don't want to butcher his name, black guy, he's still living. He had a sign. His home was also an art gallery. So
Wow. You
had people, you had the colonizers coming into the neighborhood, and they made a complaint about a flag that he had on his house already, okay? And the other people that were waving flags on the block were the new gay folks that were moving in. So it was a conflict between the two. And the documentary goes through that. Dr. Wells and Turby, I highly recommend. I've watched that film probably about 20 times already. But
Well, LA, I want you to hold on. We got to take a break. But when we come back, I want to ask you about the whole process of buying a home once a person passes away. The steps to that, because a lot of homes in the neighborhood where I live and in the city, you know, where I live. People pass away, their home sits there, and it's not known if they had any paperwork that would transfer it to their living relatives, and the house gets boarded up, and, you know, just all kinds of things. And maybe if people knew the steps to researching, they could buy that property or have the homeowners association and the block club be ready to buy that property if the children or the people who would inherit the property aren't in a position to do so, and therefore they could make sure that something positive happened with that piece of property, with that home or that building. So we'll talk about that when we come back, because I know you've done so much research in housing, and a lot of people have no clue as to what to do when there's vacant property on the block where they live. So we'll talk about that when we come back, how to make sure that our neighborhoods remain intact financially by looking at opportunities to acquire property. Well, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
LA Davis from Central Florida, was giving his insight about how when homes become vacant because the last person living in it passes away, and particularly in neighborhoods where there are a lot of seniors, that's a common thing. And so when a house becomes empty for whatever reason, are the residents there ready to take over? There are programs right here in the city of Chicago. You can buy a house that's on your block for a dollar if you live on that block. $1. How many of us know that? How many of us are prepared to do that? So, Ella, you were telling us about this school that had bought up property, Dr. Francis Chris Wilson was experiencing the fact that the school was buying up properties right in her midst and expanding their borders, and I guess she felt infringing on her space at some point.
Right.
But how do we do that deliberately? What are the steps when you know someone has passed away? And, you know, we've had a number of houses. We formed a block club on the block where I live. But there have been residents that have passed away, and they were the last one there, and sometimes people didn't know how to reach their children. So what are the steps that people go through to find out who owns the property? What's the status of it? Are there back taxes due? Can it be purchased? What's the first step? What office do they go to find that information?
Well, what I suggest, and this is why I recommend watching the documentary Flag Wars, the first step is what you were talking about earlier. With that block club, is have events on the regular so you get to know as many neighbors on your particular block as possible. That's the first step. And then the second step is, try to make as many organic friendships as you can within that block, including things like cutting somebody's grass or taking them to the grocery store or to the doctor's appointments. I mean, develop real sincere friendship, because it's going to take some time to develop the goodwill and social capital that you're going to need to find out what's really happening on your block. Because what happened with and Flag Wars is the people that were coming into the neighborhood and gentrifying the neighborhood, and this is the exact same thing what happened with Dr. Francis Welsing's block, is they knew more about what was going on in the block than the people who had actually been living in the block for decades. So that block club thing and having social events and even educational events, because a lot of people that are living in these blocks, they don't know what's happening or what could happen. That point on, you can find out, about how the tax sales run you can get fined. They have, in some cities, they have, particularly the larger cities, if your grass is not cut or there's trash on your property, it could nuisance and abatement. See, a nuisance and abatement sales where the city is taking back property from simple stuff like trash and not cutting the grass. People lose their property over that. Or not paying a water bill. There was a case I ran across in Baltimore where the father had paid off the house, worked all those years, left a mortgage-free house to his daughter. Daughter lost the house back to Baltimore City because she couldn't pay the water bill. So you can pick up property on the cheap in a lot of these larger cities if you go to the water company and pay a past due water bill or the nuisance and abatements. It's different for these larger cities, but it all starts, in my opinion, getting to know your neighbors on an intimate level, as many as possible. And then through the educational part, via the social part, you guys can probably come to some agreement or some kind of strategy where, or even if it's you individually, where, okay, I know everybody on the block, I know who their husbands, wives, kids, grandmother, all this other stuff. And when somebody passes, you know, you can offer assistance if you can, or have a strategy already in place where you can go in and help pay those fines if fines occur or whatever. But that's a matter of fact, Washington, D.C., which it used to be called Chocolate City, is not Chocolate City anymore. That's how Washington, D.C. got gentrified. Because with the Francis West Weldon thing. Because her neighbors, who all had wealth, they had a nice high-end, these were upper-middle-class people, but they didn't know each other intimately enough via the block club parties and that type of thing, or backyard barbecues or whatever. They didn't know each other, but that black, no, excuse me, that Jewish day school, those parents knew. And they made friends with the estate, and house by house over a number of decades, that's how it got to the point where, like I said, Dr. French, she was fighting alone.
Wow. So now there's a lesson to be learned in that, because the people who have a social connection are going to be able to organize economically. And somebody who's standing alone is not going to be able to overcome the power of their organization. Don't get mad at people because they understand the principle of unity. Learn from it. So this is my suggestion for people who are listening and watching and wondering, how do we fix this problem? We have Labor Day coming up, like L.A. just mentioned. You know, a lot of times people organize parties around holidays. Okay, we got Labor Day coming up. During this time, you, maybe if you've got a friend that lives on the block, if you don't want to go solo and do it by yourself, if you're intimidated or whatever, go house to house and do that census thing, like, you know, we want to get the name and ages of everybody here and the contact information, because we're planning a party. You know, we want everybody to participate, and also we might want to do some things for the children, you know, some kind of back-to-school supplies or something. And we want to make sure we have emergency information in case you're not home. We see somebody hanging around your house. We can call and make sure that you're not being robbed. Or if we don't see you for a while, we can do a wellness check, make sure you're okay if you're a senior. So you have to do it with the spirit of, we're reaching out to you as good neighbors for our collective safety. If you do it with that spirit, then you don't get the fear of, I don't want nobody to know my business, I'm not giving you my number. Because there's a high level of suspicion and fear because we've been disunited, because we've been disconnected. So do that now. Go out with, and this is what I'm telling you what I've done, and we formed a block club where I live, and me and the other brother on the block, you know, we went house to house, and we formed the block club. We got the list of all the neighbors and the phone numbers and the contact information and the children, all that. We got a block party coming up next month. And it's a way for us to build those social relationships so that, yeah, there's some young people live on the block, but we need to know who they are. We need to know their names. We need to understand, you know, what school they're going to, all those things, so that when we see them hanging out with their friends, we're not calling the police. If they get a little loud, we can walk up and say, hey, you know, it's like 2 in the morning, I'm trying to sleep, can you turn it down a little bit? And not be afraid that they're going to cuss us out because we know their mothers, we just had a party together. You know, all of these things that build relationships. So do these steps now. Plan an event that you can begin to build those relationships and have that contact information with every house and know who lives on every house. And then if there's a vacant house, go to the county building where you live and research what is the status of that house. We'll talk more about that later. But we keep thinking somebody else outside of us is going to fix this problem. We are the solution we've been looking for. And whoever has the courage to step forward as one who will take the lead in this, do this, so that it can be done and we can begin to build those relationships, because we must know everyone who lives on the block and have a contact number for them so that we can call them, do a wellness check on your seniors, let people know we're watching your house when you're gone to work or whatever the case may be, so that you can feel protected and people aren't targeting you because everybody's so disconnected and they feel like they can just come and anonymously do something because everybody's afraid to speak. We can get rid of that. Let's go back to our phone line, and we're going to go to area code 336. I believe that is Mama AZ in Arizona, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution. And Grand Rising to our sister Zelda, who's joining us on Facebook Live. Thank you so much, my sister. Feel free to write in your comments. And Mama AZ, how are you feeling today?
Perplexed family, greetings. Dr. Lateef, I'm feeling very perplexed, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this. As you know, I'm in the care facility, a nursing home for rehab, but I want to interject this. Because I didn't go to the CDC, they screwed up my appointment. I'm talking to the Most High source about all of this because something is going on. And I wanted my family to know that I'm having issues with being on the planet. I'm serious. They put this stuff back in my system because I missed my appointment to the disease control, but it wasn't my era. It was the establishment's era that where I am now at Devon Gables here in Tucson, Arizona. So if anything happens, family, and I'm not being dramatic, I'm being for real, but that's another issue. I don't want to get into that
much. How do you spell that, Mom AZ? How do you spell the name of the place? What's the name of
it? It's D as in David, E as in Edward, V as in Victory, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, and Gable, G as in Gold, A as in an angel, B as in boy, L as in Larry, E as in Edward, S as in Sam. They got me hooked up. Let me turn this off.
And that's Phoenix, Arizona?
It's in Tucson, Arizona on Grant. I don't know their address by heart, but it's on Grant in Tucson, Arizona, Devon Gables Rehabilitation. I've seen a lot, family, but anyway, that's another show. What I wanted to ask Brother L.A. And you, when these neighborhoods are gentrified, because I know all the property that my parents left me, including my own house that my family borrowed all kinds of money on, and I had, $5,000 more to pay on a brand-new house. I had it built when I was 19 at the foot of the mountain in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm wondering, all the people that are on that land now of my parents and mine, are they Hispanic? That's what I want to know. But see, when I say we, I mean people, indigenous people like us, you, myself, Brother L.A., and so on. When we manage to whatever happened and lose it, I noticed that on my behalf, there are Latinos, Mexicans, or in on those properties, all of them. Now, I want to know what your opinion is of what's up with that. Why is it that we cannot, as a family, as a people, like Brother L.A. said, come together Noah's bond together, because my dad's house, my brother evicted me from squatting, took my ass to court in Phoenix, Arizona, and everything. I mean, I love him, you know, it's all good. He felt like that's what he had to do, but what it was, before that all happened, my brother borrowed $110,000 on the goddamn house, and then it went into probate, the court or whatever, the realtor, however, whatever happened, I don't know what happened. Somebody took it over, but the bottom line is all of those pieces of property that my family owned, and it was a lot, they're all in the hands of Latino people. And maybe that was centuries ago, their land in the first place. I don't know metaphysically yet. Can't think about that right now. Anyway, I'm just putting that out there. What is it that Latino people do to stick together to buy up land? What's the ratio is what I'm saying of our land, meaning people who are indigenous people like us. What's the ratio of the Latino people being able to come in? Is this just in my area, or this is in your area? I'm asking Dr. Lateef and Brother L.A. in Florida and other places of the listeners on the line. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Lateef, or working towards what I'm asking?
Absolutely. And also want to let you know, Sister Zelda wants you to know that, you know, the female solution, we have your back, whatever's happening there. And she says, L.A., she's grateful for the information you shared on Flag Wars. That's, we're going to definitely follow up on that and make sure we know the process of getting property and what happens when you are unified, the things you can do. But Zelda says, Mom AZ, please know that the female solution has your back, always praying for your healing. So, you know, I'm going to make a call to that facility just to let them know that our global family is listening, and we are concerned, and we are watching them to make sure they give you the best of care. So I'll make sure I make a call to the facility today so that they know that you have a not just national but international family that's looking after you and watching them to make sure they do what they're supposed to give you the best of care. So,
yeah. I'll share with you, Dr. Lateef, off the line, is other things, and thank you for interjecting that, because something is going on, family, and I just want you to know, thank us.
You will thank us.
I'm gonna be...
we always have to deal with people choosing to kind of experiment with us when we're in health facilities in ways that are invasive and not of our approval. So we want to make sure you feel empowered where you are, knowing that they can't just do whatever they choose because you're going through a physical battle. But, you know, you mentioned the whole idea of the Mexicans, Hispanics, whatever the case may be. They're using the same principle of unity that L.A. spoke of earlier that the Jewish community used. When people work together to combine their financial resources, they can purchase property and they can increase their individual and collective wealth by working together. It's a principle that works no matter who works it. So if we work it, it will work. Now, if we don't work it, we have to repair whatever is inside of us that's keeping us from working that successful principle of unity. Are we holding grudges against each other? When we speak of reaching out and forming block clubs, what is keeping you from going next door and talking to your neighbor and saying, we need to put together a list of all of the people on the block so that we can make sure we watch each other's back. We can make sure that we know each other, and so we're not, you know, misidentifying somebody, calling the police when they're trying to get into their own house, or, you know, we can have parties together and help each other out if somebody's going through a difficulty. What's keeping you from doing that? What's inside of you? Is it fear? Is it judgment of them? Oh, I don't like how she dresses. Oh, her son plays that loud music. Oh, they're ghetto, you know. Are you assuming things about your neighbor, the reason why you're not willing to talk to them and form a united bond? So it's whatever needs to be fixed is inside of us, because other people who are unified and buying a property, they're not the problem. They're doing what they're supposed to do. So, L.A., you want to add to that? What do you think is what's necessary? And, you know, we're seeing...
Well, what's necessary is not just my opinion, observation, is the blog club, because with the blog club, you're able to get inside information years in advance, and you develop, and you can use those years to build up social capital to act on that inside information you get. Because if you don't do that, and this is why I highly recommend the documentary Flag Wars. If you don't, I'll give you an example. I'm a baby boomer. If you have children or grandchildren, by the time they graduate from high school, they should know the rules and regulations of the city, all kind of ordinance for that effect, that particular block in that house, and they need to be able to step into that role, although they might not, but by the time they're 17 or 18 years old. Because if you don't, there are people out here that are waiting until your mother or your father become parents or grandparents, and they'll swoop in after 20 years and 30 years, and that's how they take control of the block and gentrify it. And that's what happened with Flag Wars.
Gentrification. We can't get mad at people who present an opportunity. We got to take another break, but when we come back, we'll talk about how to address a situation where... And in a block I lived on years ago, I think the parents passed away. The children got the house. Apparently didn't know what to do with it. You know, drug trafficking was going on in and out of that house. And they were attracting all the negative elements. And people didn't know what to do. Everybody kept calling the police. But is that really the solution? We'll talk about how to address that situation when perhaps the matriarch or the patriarch has passed on and the children who have the house are letting it go to ruin. How can you step in and help collectively as the block? We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Maybe in a situation like that, it would be good to
be able to buy a home where it seems that the people who were there didn't care for it. And eventually, I think they lost it and you know, had to move or whatever. But for a couple of years, it was kind of terrorizing the block because they were not good neighbors. So L.A., how does, if someone has formed, if a block has formed a block club, if they have done the steps to form an organization, can they buy property as an organization, or can you buy it as, you know, individuals? I know they do have that buy a house for a dollar program here in Chicago if the house is empty and vacant and you live on that block. But what do you recommend that people do to put themselves in a position to buy up vacant homes that may appear on their block? What would you suggest?
Well, you can do it individually, or you can do it as an investment group. The group's going to have to educate themselves on, you know, how everything works, and then also have a long-term vision. If you do it individually or as a group, in your mission statement, which really needs to be no more than one sentence long, you know, using the case of Francis Quest Welsing, you know, what could have happened was if the neighbors had gotten together through social activities over some decades and said, all right, look, you know, you can do group estate planning. So in other words, if somebody passes away, everybody else knows what's happening in that group. And then maybe collectively your neighbors can get together and buy that house. I've run across that here in Florida, and I'm sure it happens all over the place, where there was a house for sale, and then I called the phone number on this thing, but then the lady who answered the call was one of the neighbors, and she told me just straight up, we don't want anybody new to come to the block. We're working on buying the house ourselves.
Mm.
So... Yeah, I mean, that's the reality of it. So your neighbors could do, I mean, if you know, put it this way, if you and your neighbors don't do it, there's going to be an outsider that will do it.
And we can't get mad. And this is the main key today. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. We keep wanting to put the responsibility on someone else to fix what we have the responsibility to fix. Whatever is happening, whether it's crime, violence, drugs, poverty, whatever it is, take responsibility for fixing it, because everything has a solution. The solution is always working together. Work together. Now, if you are saying, why don't those people get together and do something, you are part of those people. What is stopping you from going to that neighbor and saying, let's form a block club so that we can know who is in every home, and if a home becomes vacant, we can purchase it? That's the first step. Don't get mad at the Hispanics. Don't get mad at the Jewish people. Don't get mad at the Polish people, the Chinese people. Don't get mad at the Koreans. Don't get mad at anybody else who sees a financial opportunity in your disunity and buys up your property. And then you want to call it gentrification. Well, what it is, they're seeing the opportunity to get good property. You didn't see the opportunity, and therefore you see your block where you live changing and other people coming in and choosing to live where you live. And in some cases, choosing to price you out of where you live. Don't get mad. They have a right to do that. So, L.A., one of the things I always hear, you know, the audio clip that you play on your show of this man who's just frustrated seeing a vacant house on his block being empty for years, And then a group of Hispanics came in one night, and overnight they transformed it to look new and were ready to put it on the market, sell it, rent it, whatever. But they came in. It took them one night to take that old, vacant, abandoned property and fix it up and make it look like new. And, of course, they could then buy it, sell it, whatever, rent it. But it had been sitting there all that time, and nobody else thought to do it. All those residents on the block, they just didn't. They didn't come together and fix it up.
Right.
So, and he was nearly in tears talking about that. So we got to think about that. What is keeping us from going next door and talking to that neighbor? Because that's where it starts. Somebody has to take the leadership. Somebody has to take responsibility to get the ball rolling. Somebody has to care enough to be that person that makes it happen. Someone has to step forward. And if we're not willing to be that person, then why not? Because if you're complaining, that means you're being urged to do something, not them. Don't blame the mayor. Don't blame the governor. Don't blame the police chief. Don't blame anybody else. Everybody on that block has to take responsibility. So, you know, we want you all to give us a call, 515-605-9325.
Here's another reason why these block clubs are so very important and having social events. Matter of fact, I would recommend getting everybody's birthday and sending out birthday cards, if not, you know, pitching in some money to have birthday, even a cake for each one of those. Because here's another thing that I've discovered is you've got some outsiders that will actually move into a neighborhood for 2 or 3 years and get to know everybody on that block and then 2 or 3 blocks over. And then, matter of fact, I ran across a guy. That's how he's been picking up houses for the last 17 years. Dude happens to be white, but he's picking up houses in black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you don't get to know your neighbors from way back, it's going to happen to you.
Absolutely. So this is our challenge today, people. This is how we fix the problem that we allow to manifest by becoming disconnected. So get reconnected. Now, one of the things that is happening, and I know Florida is kind of a little different, but I know here in Chicago they're talking about instituting a lockdown because they're afraid of the pandemic. You know, they're afraid that there's a new strain of the virus and all of that. So that's been the talk of the town. I was on Wanda Carter's show last night. We were talking about what is going to happen if the city shuts down again. And, you know, they're making it all about the vaccine. Well, we got to make sure everybody's vaccinated. And so we had a chance to kind of examine what that means if everything shuts down. Well, the positive thing that I see is that we're still connected virtually. This is another reason perhaps why you may want to tell people, okay, we're going to make sure we keep in contact because we might not be out on the street as much. So we want to make sure we have your email address. So, you know, we can have virtual meetings on Zoom or whatever the case may be. We want to make sure we have your phone number so we can call you, keep in contact. We want to make sure we have the name and, like we said, birthday of everybody in your household so we can still maintain our social connections even if we're in the midst of a lockdown. I don't think we need to panic about a lockdown. I think it's a time for us to pause and organize. So we need to take this opportunity to organize. Get prepared because you can say, well, look, if we're going to have issues where people aren't going to be able to get out and get groceries, we can make sure our seniors are taken care of. We can be bringing their groceries, or we can make sure if they can't get out to get their medicine, or whatever the case may be, we can stay connected even if there is a lockdown. So my suggestion would be take this time to organize your block and form those social bonds and have those virtual meetings with all your block club members to say we want to make sure everybody's taken care of during this pandemic, and people might not get a chance to get out, and we don't know if someone's inside their home sick because we haven't seen them because nobody's coming out. So we're doing this for our collective safety. So, L.A., what is happening in Florida there? Are people, pardon me, are people back on the streets, or are they being told to stay in?
Well, around these parts where I'm at, it seems like it's almost normal. See, some people wear a mask, some people don't have a mask on, and the electric company in town, they're not cutting nobody slack on not paying. They did at the beginning, but they don't do that, and then the property taxes are still due. So, like I said, around these parts, it seems like it's practically back to normal. Even the governor of the state says school's going to open back full swing in, I guess, late August or early September. So that's nothing. If it closes, everything, like, see, where I'm at seems normal.
Yeah. And we got to understand that people are tired of being in confinement. So right now, and I know we'll hear probably more about this tomorrow with Viata's show, but right now they're really pushing the whole idea. Well, if everybody just get vaccinated, then we can go back to normal. So they're really, really pushing that thought, as if that's the solution to everything. And the country right now is actually being divided into the pro-vax and anti-vax people. My suggestion would be, don't get caught up in that argument. If it's something you want to do, choose to do it. If it's something you don't want to do, empower yourself to be able to live your life free of restriction, even if you choose not to do it. Develop ways from working from home if you need to. But whatever you do, you still need to organize your block. You still need to make sure you know your neighbors. You still need to make sure that you have everybody's contact information. Because there are going to be some people who are saying, well, if we could just get vaccinated, then we can go back to normal. There are going to be some people saying, I'm not getting that vaccination. That's going to happen. The intelligent people will rise above the fray and take this time to organize. Take the time to get to know your neighbor. And if you want to have some activities that you think are pro-health, like, you know, bring in a group that does testing or whatever, and make that part of the block club, you can do that too. But either way, this is a time for us to organize. Know your neighbor. Form the block club. Know who lives in every house, and if the house is vacant, find out who owns it and have a vision as a block to purchase it. If you don't want what LA is talking about, the gentrification, somebody else, you know, a real estate buyer seeing an opportunity, buying up your properties and selling them, and then, I mean, all kinds of things can change once other people start envisioning what they can do with the place where you live, and they try to figure out how to get you out of your home. You don't need that. Organize. Be the one who initiates the organization. That really is the solution. Take responsibility. You don't need a new law to pass in order for you to do that, nor if you talk to your neighbor. You don't need to pass a law. You don't need to sue anybody in order for you to go and talk to your neighbor. None of these things that you think are complicated, you don't have to do any of those things. Just go and talk to your neighbor. That's all you have to do. That's the only thing. It doesn't cost you anything. And once we do that, then we set in motion the kind of social bonds that make people no longer be strangers, that they fear each other. Know the names of the people who live on your block. Speak to them. And I love that idea, L.A., of knowing people's birthdays, sending them a card, you know, maybe collectively signed by everybody on the block, you know. As a neighbor, you're going to bring a cake. I mean, all kinds of things you can do to build relationships, because it's all about building relationships. We have the problems we have because we allow the relationships to be broken. We allow people to become strangers. We became afraid of them. And then for those who didn't have guidance that they needed, they saw others as prey. I can take from you, because I don't know you and I don't care about you. So that's what we have the power to reverse, and it doesn't cost a thing. Just go and talk to your neighbor. So if you're listening online and you want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. If you are on our switchboard and you have some hesitancy about talking to your neighbor, maybe they're kind of scary, maybe they're not friendly. You know, you don't want to know them because they maybe do things that you don't like. Maybe they hang out and get drunk and curse at people, and maybe you're afraid they're going to be violent. And maybe they may do those things, but you have to see each person just as yourself. They're just a person. They're not what they do. They're what they are, just a person like you. So talk to them when they're not drunk. Talk to them when they're not loud and cursing and hanging out. Talk to them during the daytime. Go next door. Go down the street. Talk to your neighbor. That's the first step. So, L.A., before we take our last break, there's one other thing that I wanted to ask about when it comes to this whole property buying thing. Because people don't always know, you know, what makes property values go up, what makes them go down. And people say, well, the property values will go down if so-and-so moves in. Oh, the property values are going up because so-and-so moved out, you know, whatever. What actually makes property either more or less valuable? Can one person moving in a block make the values go down, and how does that happen? Can you explain that for us who may not understand?
Boy, that's a real good question. One person, I would say no. That's not going to really have any impact. But if you have a group of people, and they can all look different now, but if you have a group of people that move in, and then add value to each one of their, you know, properties. You know, like if one swimming pool's not going to be a big deal. But, you know, if you get about, if you got a block of maybe 20 houses on the block, and let's say 10 people put a swimming pool in their backyard, you know, that's starting to change the uniformity of the block. You know, the curb appeal value, if that's collectively done, that could bring up the value of the block. Now, here's the catch 22 with that. If you increase the value of the block, or even your individual home, the first beneficiary of that value is going to be the local municipality that assesses taxes to that property. So if you install a deck, a pool, or your house is, you know, on the front cover of Better Homes and Gardens, then that property is going to go up in value. And if you do it collectively through the block, the block's going to go up in value. That means the property taxes are going to go up, and then that means that you're going to have to pay more in taxes.
But isn't
and
so,
in certain
I know
cities
that-
like...
So,
in certain cities, I like the house I got in D.C., the property taxes on that is like $7,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
which I think is outrageous. That's why I went rural, because I've got 10 acres in Texas, which the property taxes on that was less than $40 for the whole year.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's another thought. But now I do understand that there are various programs, like here in the city, if you're a senior in your own property, you know, you don't pay the same taxes on it, or they even have tax exemptions for seniors. So isn't that the case? Like you could
you do have homestead exemptions, which makes you don't have to pay as much as in taxes. But what's happening, not only in the United States, but globally, basically to live in a city, particularly the size of Chicago, or it doesn't even have to be as large as Chicago population-wise, cities are becoming places for the wealthy. So if you don't have a certain income, or if you don't plan in your estate that your heirs, through some type of family business, they don't have a family business that can sustain those property taxes, then you can lose a house that way as well. So you've got to do estate planning. You got to think literally bare minimum 100 years out. Because 30 years from now, let's say you're a new parent and you have an infant child right now that's, 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
20 years from now, the house that you live in is going to be, the property tax is going to be, due to inflation, or going to be a lot higher. So what you call affordable now might be unsustainable 20, 25 years from now, which means your
right.
children or grandchildren won't be able to keep the house
right.
when they get to
the
adults.
I think that's what happened to the house that you know, we used to live across the street from. The young people were there. I don't think they were working, and eventually over time they lost the house, probably couldn't sustain it. But I would suggest to anybody to put your house in trust. I think that there are ways to protect your property so that even as you pass it down to those who are going to inherit it, I don't think property should ever leave your family if at all possible, unless you're really going to sell it and everybody benefit from the sale of it. But I think when it comes to a community, if there's certain kinds of people and you feel comfortable with the people that are in your community and you don't want someone coming in that's going to not value the house, not keep up the lawn or you know, not repair things, because you can have, and I was just saying about if everybody on the block, you know, keeps their lawn up, fixes the porch lights, whatever, it's well lit, does some type of enhancement, then it's going to collectively raise the value. And that's what you want. You want a block that says to people coming down the street, this is a unified community. They are not vulnerable for predators because they are unified. That's what you want to do. Now, one thing we did, we got these, I'm going to take our last break. We got these front lights. Everybody's got these nice, you know, lights in front of their home that we installed a couple of decades ago. But it presents a look of unity. We're all collectively doing this thing together. Even around holidays, you have everybody doing collective decoration. It says to a potential predator of a block, this is a unified community. I can't just walk in and rob somebody because they look out for each other. And, you know, and then you have your local police that'll even give you those signs and say, we call police, you know. And whatever steps you can do to show unity, it's protecting you from predators who look for, just like in the wild, look for who's weak, who's detached. When the lions get ready to attack a herd, they look for the little calf that maybe is strayed.
Naima, that's the best analogy that I've heard of yet. The reason why blocks get gentrified is people come along and they look for a block of lone wolves.
Yeah.
And that's easy prey.
Easy prey. So that's what it's all about. So we're going to take our last break and I'm going to come back and take another call, area code 773-977. And if you're on our switchboard, you got to comment, press 1 now so we know you have something to say. We'll be right back after this last break. We're giving solutions today. So take responsibility. Be that person that steps forward in leadership. Do that first step. Get to know your neighbors. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Sister who's in Seattle, Washington. Her name is Emily North, And she's been on a life support machine now for about 4 days, and they were waiting for her children to arrive. And she's 76 years old, and she's had a second massive stroke. They claim that her bleeding on the brain. So I'm just soliciting prayers. I know that God is able to do all things, and we all must leave this way someday. We have to make that transition, but I just need prayer and for the families and everyone. I'm getting to our subject, and thank you so much. Many of our senior citizens are not really aware of the fact that they don't have to.
Or stay. We're praying for her well-being.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Many of our senior citizens are not aware of the fact that they don't have to pay taxes or as much taxes as you said before, but the clue to it is that you must file an application. And a lot of the seniors don't have loved ones or anyone caring enough to even see to them having the application. And I find from a personal investigation that many seniors are still making mortgage payments when they paid off their homes 15, 20 years ago.
Wow.
People like City Mortgage and a couple of others. So, you know, they've been taking property from our people. And if you die, oh, my God, they'd rather let it sit up and just rot than to put someone who's homeless in there and fix it up. They tore down the project, and they knew that they were going to create homelessness among our people. So
we're
still paying taxes, and the dollar property, they're saying, oh, come on, buy this property for $1. And everybody takes it. Now I believe it's a lottery that has to be pulled in order to determine who gets it for a dollar. However, whoever gets it for a dollar signs a contract that they're going to rehab that place completely within 1 year. So you're not going to get a loan to rehab that place in 1 year. If you don't do it within 1 year, you lose the property. So if you don't have any money, if you don't have any money invested someplace, why go and buy the dollar property? Okay, now that's my thought for today, and I love you all, and thank you so much for this time. This is Lois here in Chicago.
We love you too, Lois, and we're certainly praying for your loved one. It's always difficult when we're in that process of, you know, we don't know if there's going to be a healing and recovering or is there going to be a transition, and then the family's got to make the decision. They don't want artificial life support. They want that person to be able to be empowered to choose if they want to stay or not and not be forced to stay if they don't want to. So that's always a very difficult decision, but we're certainly praying for your family that they can be at peace with whatever decision is made by the soul who is here and perhaps ready to leave or perhaps not ready to leave, but we want them to be at peace and we want their bodies to be in a state of wellness so that if they are here, their time is not spent in physical discomfort. So we thank you so much, Lois, for always a valuable contribution to our discussion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, L.A., she makes a really important point, and I'm going to open Mama AZ's mic again. But Lois made a very important point about sometimes seniors, they get so used to paying the mortgage payment, and if they don't have someone managing their you know, their bills and their finances, they could still keep paying for a property where they paid it off already. And we're assuming that banks and everybody are, you know, going to be honest. These are just people, you know. People who work in places, they're just people. Some people are honest, some people are not honest. You know, we assume that people are going to not take money that they shouldn't have. Why are we assuming that? So, again, you got to be responsible for keeping up with your payments. When have you paid something off? When should they be sending you the deed to your property? You know, when are the taxes due? All of these things, and I would make a suggestion also, share these things with your children. People don't talk about it with their children. And so when they pass on, their children do not have any clue as to what is the state of affairs with the property. if you've got an 18-year-old that's living in your house and maybe suddenly you pass away and maybe you're a single parent and they are legally an adult, but you've never shared with them how much is the mortgage, what's the light bill, what's the gas bill, what's the phone bill, when are the taxes due, you've never shared that information, then they're not prepared to take over as a homeowner, and they should be because they're legally an adult. And we have to, again, take responsibility. So my Maisie, you had a comment you wanted to make, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Lateef. Lois, thank you for that information that you shared. I think you said your sister is in Seattle. That's where my sister left. She purposely moved to Seattle, Washington because of the rules on the drugs. She was a drug addict, and she left the building at 40 in 40. Seattle, Washington. And apparently she's communicating, because that's how I get confirmations of things, meaning my sister Shirley Cunningham. And this is dedicated to my family in Phoenix and Oklahoma and Sacramento and Oakland and everywhere. Paris and the Crawford family, if you ever listen to this podcast, family, this is very, very important. Thank you, Lois, and you are in my prayers. I don't want to get emotional, but the information, family, today that was shared on today's podcast is very, very important. And this is Robert Parrish. Robert Lee Parrish is my given name, birth name, and I'm in Tucson, Arizona at Devon Gables, recovering for another major invasion of my body. Thank us. I hold Lois again. Sister, you are in my prayers. And my sister is there with your sister. I mean that, and I know that. Thank us, Dr. Lateef. It's a lot going on.
Thank us. Thank Universal. Us. Thank us. Yes, we are all connected. Even when we don't realize it, we are all connected. And so because in the higher realms we are all connected, we need to be connected here on Earth. We need to form those social bonds like LA is speaking about. It starts with being connected socially so that we can learn to trust each other. Mama Aza, you mentioned about why have we not been able to work collectively. You know, what's stopping us? You have to form bonds of trust. Often we see what happens. We'll see community organizations, and maybe they get a grant or a loan or something, and they have all this money, and they're supposed to maybe do some development project. And then next thing you know, somebody's being indicted for a misappropriation of the money, or people are in some kind of conflict, some kind of power struggle over who's going to be the president of the organization, and things fall apart. It really is about each person developing within themselves the capacity to work with someone else in a bond of trust. And that's really what a marriage is. It's not just, you know, two people having sex. It's about a bond of trust, because you're building economically together. Sometimes you're raising children together, so you're shaping lives together. And there has to be a trust, because you're building something that's supposed to last for generations. So when you're going to form an organization for the purpose of sustaining your property over generations, there has to be a bond of trust. Because the next step is when you start, maybe whether you're collecting dues or, you know, membership dues or whatever, you have to have trust in somebody to be treasurer, to open a bank account, to give you regular reports of the finances. And then the next step is if you're going to invest in something collectively, such as buying a home. Now, what would happen if somebody got into financial trouble and was threatened with eviction? They couldn't pay their mortgage. They lost their job. What would happen if on that block you had a fund where you could pay their back mortgage payment and keep them in their home because they're a long-time resident. What if you did that so that no one in your block got evicted because of, you know, couldn't pay the taxes or whatever the case may be, or couldn't pay the mortgage? What if we had that kind of unity in our neighborhoods where people were not in danger of losing their homes because the neighbors helped out? What if we formed that kind of a social structure so that we didn't have people vulnerable to predators coming in and buying up their taxes or buying their past water bill? The next thing you know, they got to get out of their house because they didn't have money. What if we protected each other from those kind of predatory acts? What if we chose to do that? We can do it. It's a decision that has to be made, and one person can spearhead it by having the right spirit of unity. We can do this, and it's our responsibility to do it. It's not anybody else's but ours. Not the mayor, not the governor, not the president. Our responsibility as a resident of that block is to form the social bonds with our neighbors so that we can create bonds of trust so we can then work together in business, in finances, in acquisition of property, and maintenance of property so we can all keep our values high. So what if this neighbor that we have, maybe they're elderly, maybe they can't mow their lawn or they don't have the energy to get out and shovel snow. What if we, in our block club, took care of their lawn maintenance so that everybody's house looked well-maintained, nobody looked abandoned, nobody was attracting a predator? Because when people get ready to rob a place, they look for a place that doesn't look like it's cared for. So what if we made sure every home was cared for, even those who might be having financial difficulties? We can do that. So be the leader in this endeavor to maintain our neighborhood, our community. Be the person who goes to the neighbor and says, we're creating a block club. We want to know everybody's name, the children's names, their ages, birthday, so we can celebrate your birthday, your contact information, so we can have virtual meetings. So even if our city has to go through another shutdown, we can still stay connected and make sure everybody's needs are met. If you need somebody to bring your groceries, if you need somebody to do some child care or watch your children while you're away or whatever may be the case, we can trust each other because we're neighbors. Someone has to start. Be the change you want to see. So, LA, what would you suggest for someone who's living on a street where it's maybe very transient and people are, you know, maybe they've got some apartment buildings and people don't stay very long? Is there a way to build a community in an area where you have some that's apartments, people maybe moving every couple of years? Can you still create that same type of a structure? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you could, particularly if you're proactive and put together your own group to either buy the unit and you put your own people in there.
Now that's something. If there's an apartment building on your block, that might be, and it, you know, most of the time apartment buildings are owned by somebody who lives somewhere else. You know, in the city they got these, you know, slum landlords. They don't live on the property. They live somewhere else, and if something goes wrong, you can't reach them. So I think that's the same thing as even when there's, whether it's a business that is boarded up or, you know, not in use, an apartment building that's raggedy. If there are homeowners in that community, I think one of the most powerful things we can do is, as you said, form those organizations where we have a financial group, an investment group, where you can buy the properties in your neighborhood and own them collectively. If you collectively, if your block, what if your block owns the corner store? What if your block owns the apartment building?
Now you're thinking in the right direction, because, see, once you start thinking that way and then acting on what you just stated, you're going to control the politics. Politicians will be coming to you. The whatever system that you have, whatever city, eventually the mayor will be coming to you because you control that block. And that makes a lot of sense, because what's happening right now for decades is, I mean, the liquor store in black neighborhoods, who owns that? The dry cleaner in black. Chicago might be a little bit better than a lot of other cities, but like in D.C., liquor stores are basically owned by Asians. Most dry cleaners are owned by Asians and or Mexicans. There's enough raw financial resources and talent in the typical black neighborhood to put social services in that particular town out of business. But we don't know each other. That's the problem.
That's the first step, getting to know your neighbor. Once we do that, everything else is fixable. Because you can have your investment group, your block club can form that investment group where you're buying the local stores. You're buying any homes that are vacant. You're buying buildings. You're buying multi-unit buildings. And then that way you can do what you want to do. You can either make sure your family members have a place to stay or you can even have programs.
You have jobs for people that, if, like you said, if you bought the corner store, okay, then you're creating jobs within that neighborhood.
Right. Hire people who live in the neighborhood. And this is how money circulates. It's all doable. It doesn't need a government decree. It just takes a decision. Someone who has enough courage to spearhead it and then go and talk to the neighbor. Two or three gathered together. That's all it takes. So go and talk to that neighbor. And then the two or three of you go around that block, get the names, create the list of people, and form that block club that can become an investment group that makes sure that you keep ownership of property you live. Those efforts to go. Thank you so much, LA, for sticking with me throughout the show, and for all of you who contributed, thank you.
www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kunyong. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan,
Shukriya, Afghanistan. Tashakkur, Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.